at any point, the board can release an article, impression, scripture reference, the word, into your heart. Be open to that. Don't try to get it, don't focus on it. Just focus on the Lord. Just worship, being still before the Lord. I find it helpful just to keep praying in the Spirit under my breath. Or not under my breath, just praise in the Spirit. Trusting that as I praise Him in the Spirit, or pray in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit is putting the adequatio. He is arranging my soul and spirit and making it adequate to receive what He has for me. That one we trust God for.
This is for every single person. I saw a little child looking up at a kitchen cupboard and wanting what was on the top shelf, but of course the little child couldn't even reach the first shelf. Mm-hmm. And then I saw Jesus picking up the little child and placing the child on the counter, and then the child easily reached the thing that was on the top shelf.
Wow, praise God. Lord, we ask You for a word. We ask You for a scripture. Show us. We thank You by Your Spirit, You're able to do that. So we just wait upon You.
I don't know why this scripture popped to me out of nowhere. It's just one scripture. So I'm just going to read it and trusting that that God is ministering to somebody or something. Isaiah 57:18. I have seen His ways and I will heal him. I will lead him also and restore comforts unto him and to his mourners. Let me read it again. I have seen his ways and will heal him. I will lead him also and restore comforts unto him and to his mourners.
Thank you, Lord.
That scripture just popped in front of my eyes.
Praise God.
I'm getting the word restoration.
Uh-huh. Restoration, yes.
Yeah. I invite you to just take these words as a word for you. As you receive it, receive a word yourself, receive that, and let the Lord speak to you in your devotion now. Yeah. Others may be receiving a scripture reference, a word, personally. This is your quiet time, this is our devotion. Stress out, just relax, and it's up to God. It's for God to bring it to us. Bless you, Lord. Thank you.
I usually don't receive it this way, but I got Zechariah 2:1.
Okay.
The whole thing doesn't make sense, but the beginning of it does. It's, then I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, there was a man with a measuring line in his hand. But I think it's just, then I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold.
Oh, okay. So what you're doing is that you are being able to sense which part speaks more than other parts, right?
Yeah.
That's right. And sometimes we don't fully get what it means, right? But the Lord is like identifying the location of where the word is. Yeah. You're sensing where the word is in the scripture. Not everything about in that chapter in Zechariah may speak to you, but
just that part, yeah.
Yeah.
And then what we do is that we continue, just continue praying in the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is the one who unfolds it in His time. Don't rush it, for all of us, just don't rush it. Just enjoy the presence of God. That's more important even than the word that we receive. Yeah?
That's true.
He is more important than the scripture we get. So now we just enjoy Him. And at any time, we open for a word, a reference, to just drop in your heart.
Well, I just want to piggyback on what was being said, because what Patty said of what the story
restoration
and what and the description that God gave to me, I think the healing. The reason why I'm connecting those was because in these last few days, revelation that I'm getting in my own life is that because Jesus who lives in me, the resurrected Jesus who lives in me. Okay. I'm already dead. The old Jose. Dead. But the Jesus that lives in me, he's whole. He's 100% healed. He's 100% free. He's 100% whole. So the thing that God is speaking to me, in my own healing, in my own restoration, as what Tammy said, was He's been speaking to me in my devotions in the morning time that the one that lives in me, who's in me right now? Who is the one who's in me? It's the resurrected Christ. And He is 100% whole.
Amen.
He's 100% healed. He's 100% free. So God is telling me, instead of focusing on like sickness and stuff, my faith focus on who is inside
Amen.
Of me.
Praise God.
And focus that you are already healed and you are already free. So when we read those scriptures, God gave me that scripture out of Isaiah about healing and what Tammy said about restoration. I'm piggybacking all this stuff, and I'm just saying that for all of us that are in this meeting to receive restoration and a healing, because that is what God wants us to receive, because the Jesus that lives in us, He's a resurrected Jesus, and He's whole. So it's the time for us to receive are healing right now. I believe that the time has come for us to not to focus on the sickness, but to focus on the healing.
Now what I want to invite you to do is to continue to stay in this mode and just continue to let the Holy Spirit settle a word. I want to give others a chance to just be quiet before the Lord and just be let the Lord just be sensed as he lets a word just begin to be dropped into our heart. It can be as a spirit, as a scriptural reference. You just turn to it. You may not know what that reference is. Just go ahead and try. The Lord is very accessible. Get a word that doesn't make sense, but you feel that there's something there. Just hold it there. Your spirit is responding first before your mind can understand it. We are learning to go by the spirit first. you may get a chapter, let's say you get Amos 3. Just slowly read through it and you open to the Spirit. Not all of that chapter may speak to you, or the whole chapter may speak to you. What you want to do is to be able to be sensitive to which part is really speaking more. That's why I recall favorite verse. I'm going to change the name of that, right? Mm-hmm. I'm going to change the name from favorite verse to something else. But right now, we're just going to talk about that part, maybe a phrase, a word, a verse, or maybe an idea that comes in that chapter that seems to be moving, seems to be speaking. So we want to train our spirit to detect that. Sometimes because of the fact that word from God comes from someone that is wiser and smarter than us, who sees something which we don't see, we may feel that we got something and it does not make sense. It just can't necessarily make sense out of it. But you feel that there's something there. I'd like us to just be patient. Don't dismiss it too quickly. Right. I see several of you looking at your Bibles, so maybe that you see something. And I'm going to invite you to share it in its raw form, yeah. And how you got it, how it came, and don't be afraid to share if you're doubtful about it. It's okay. But the more we can share it in its raw form, that we can all learn together. We're all going to receive the word in a different way. But, and some of us have been more experienced at this, so it's okay. So we're going to share it in very different ways. But I'm interested for us to share it, not sort of trying to think too much about what it means, but just as you understand it now, right? It's unfolding, and it has not perhaps unfolded completely, but you got it sort of in a raw form, yeah? So feel free to share that, you know? And then, so we all can learn together, right? And who wants to share first? Okay, Sarah.
I got the song, Create Me, Create Part.
Okay.
So I just started singing it to myself.
Okay. How was it when you sang it to yourself more? How, what did it?
It's like it built that up.
Oh, it built it up, right. Okay, so that's really good. And it, what it, what it built was a sense of that song.
Yes.
The message of that song. Yes. It's interesting that you use the word built it up. Because it was, so it seems like it had more, it began to have more weight.
Yeah.
Say so, a little bit more.
So, you know, as I was singing it, it's like, okay, yes, create in me this clean heart, create in me a right spirit. I just felt like, okay, God was creating that in
yeah.
me. He was cleansing, he was restoring,
yeah.
right, in terms of the rest of the song, right? So I didn't believe it at first. Right?
Okay.
And
then okay.
It, it just got it stronger and stronger with like layers, right?
Okay.
So in terms of the verses and repeats, right?
Okay. That's really very, very instructive. Because what's happening is that Sarah said that the more she read it, that means, I mean, sorry, the more she sang it, the repetition, it got stronger. If it's something from God, the more you repeat it, it gets stronger. If it's not from God, the more you repeat it, it just gets, it just sort of evaporates. That's how sometimes you can know it's from God or not, you know? So, that's one dynamic that you want to always be aware of, yeah? Okay, thanks for sharing that. Anybody else? Daniel?
So I got an impression of Colossians 3,
okay.
Starting in verse 20.
Okay, we'll just turn to it, okay? Just a bit of time. Turn to it. Colossians 3.
Mm-hmm.
It came as an impression, a reference?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, please.
It was 20 to 24. I got 3:20, but then I kept reading after that.
Yeah, yeah. So sometimes you get a verse. I don't usually get a verse, but you got a verse. And sometimes the verse is the verse that you get, the impression of the verse that you get is just the beginning of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So that's what happened for you, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
It says, "Children, obey your mass." I'm sorry. "Obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children, for they will become discouraged. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you and to curry their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving."
Okay. Which part was speaking to you, or what was it speaking to you in a way that seemed fresh?
I think or just seeing my work as not separate from serving Christ.
Yeah.
And that the sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord, that struck me.
Yeah.
How, yeah, we just do it with full, full heart and awe of God.
Yeah. Okay. In what way does it feel different from what you knew? You know, sometimes a lot of times we get verses that we know. And what we want to do in our devotions is not to actually bring what we already know to the verse, but to let God speak to us as if it's fresh, as if we never heard it. So one of the things we want to do is to actually sort of say, yeah, I know that, but what is the fresh? What would you say is the thing that struck you in a different way? What seemed fresh to you?
I think I've been like contemplating, like, what does it mean for my heart to be fully God's?
Yeah.
And here it says, work at it with all your heart. So I think there's some connection with the work that we do. And, giving our full heart to God.
Yeah.
It's not a separate thing.
Yeah. So not just in prayer or devotions, but in all of them. It's really good.
Yeah. Good. I'm going to move on, okay? You won't be able to share everything, but you just get something. What's your
I got chapter 54 of Isaiah.
Isaiah 54?
And I was trying to and I've been going through a lot with my husband's situation, my sister, and also dealing with sexual trauma and going to therapy.
Yes.
So it speaks to a lot of those things in the whole chapter.
Wow. Yep.
So I was like, okay.
Very accurate.
But the thing that really stuck out was to not be ashamed.
Not be ashamed, yeah. What good is that?
And that for fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed.
Yeah.
Neither be thou confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame. For thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth and shalt not remember the reproach of thy widowhood anymore.
Yeah.
And then also the last 17, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper.
Oh, wow.
And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord.
Really accurate. I will ask you any more questions. That really stands.
Right.
By the way, Jose, Mary, can you hear?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, that's good. So these are personal words, and they are more personal than sometimes we can share. So I'm not asking you to share more than you feel comfortable with. Yeah. This is very personal. Yeah. Anyone else?
I got a word a couple weeks ago for my kids, based on that word, I felt like I needed to change some things in terms of how I was working with them, with their academics. I'm homeschooling my kids.
Yeah.
And so I did that, and this week was good. I felt like there was progress in what's happening, right? And so today I got a word, and it was John 8. And I mean, the first part is like the woman caught in adultery, which, So, but then it goes on and down in verse 31.
Okay.
So Jesus said to the Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples.
Yeah.
And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.
Yeah.
And so I felt like God was just saying, well, it was kind of like the, see what happens when you do this, right? So when you get a word and you change based on the word, that changes the reality for you and the people around you, right? And so, I just felt like the word this morning was kind of that confirmation.
Oh, the previous word,
that
you had enacted, you had obeyed, and now you could see the difference.
Yeah.
And this was like sealing it.
Right.
And what it's doing is it's telling you about, there's a principle in it somewhere, right?
Yeah.
I know you just got this word, so you may not have figured it out completely, but do you feel there's a principle coming out that's kind of a lesson for?
Yeah, so I think at least the thing that I'm running with right now is like when you get a word, if you drop other things, and roll with that word, right? Then things change, right? Don't worry about like carrying everything else. Just carry the word that you have, right? And so, and that just changes things, right? Like So, okay, so
that's
one real quick thing. The context of this is that my life is just super kind of chaotic and busy right now because we just moved a house.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sarah got a new job, and like we're still packed. Like my life is just like this. It's very hard for me to operate in this chaotic environment that I feel like I'm in. You know, it's kind of stressful for me, and so I feel like this is like the key here that God, I think, is just impressing is don't worry about the chaos, right? Like the chaos will take, like you'll get the, it will take care of itself, right? Or the chaos will go away, but focus on the word that you're in the midst of the chaos, you need to stay focused on your kids and on the word that you have for your kids.
Wow.
Right? And so I feel like this was like, okay, so what I'm doing, the fact that the chaos is still there, it's okay, right? So it's very kind of this satisfying, relieving word this morning. So.
That is really powerful. That word is like a rhema word, right? Mm-hmm. We talked about that last time, a rhema word. That word spoken by God reorders everything around us in the light of its own word, that itself, that word. Gives us a lens looking at everything because we know a lot of scriptures, we know a lot of principles, we know a lot of Bible things. But what is the thing that really matters now? What is the reality now? And the word actually is so powerful. No word of God is devoid of power. Yeah. That word actually, it comes in, it displaces everything else and it ushers in the new reality. And so what you're doing is that what you said, I like that, you just roll with it. Don't worry about everything else, but just roll with it. And in the chaos of our lives, we don't try to order the chaos first. We let the word come in, then the word will order the chaos from itself. So that is why hearing from God is very important. Because if you don't, what's happening is you're going to get countless piles and piles of principles from all the words that we know and all the biblical principles and the books we read. But we don't know how to move. What is how to interpret the present reality and all that? But so what you shared is very powerful in the sense that it's actually it becomes the lens, everything sort of is ordered around it. Yeah. That doesn't mean your life will be completely all set up. But it is an ordering that is actually happening. Thank you for sharing that. That's really great. Anyone else?
Scott? Hello?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I wanted to tell you that is exactly how God ordered my life, exactly. My life used to be just completely chaos, and I would get so, I'm a person that I get overwhelmed, everything becomes a mountain, and the way that God slowly brought me into a place of total organization and everything just totally in order, in his order, was that exact way. He would have me focus on one thing at a time. And then when I accomplished that one thing, then the next thing, and the next thing, and everything just fell into place.
So, yes, that's great.
That's wonderful.
That is a principle, right? It's a principle. So we understand the word in a fresh way now. Yeah, it gives us a new understanding of what is the word that we get in our devotion. So this is really very powerful. Yeah. Anyone else want to share? Share your word. Have a seat.
Well, I had the song Breaks that came from us, but I thought, oh, maybe. No,
okay.
Okay. But anyway.
Did you sing it to yourself?
Yeah, and I think the inspiration that came there is that, okay, we're hearing from God, and like you mentioned that even if we don't get anything.
Yeah.
Fact that we are there sitting at his feet, I think.
Yeah.
I think he just loves it. So,
yes.
So I think it's inspired me. Okay, this could be like a laboratory where we're waiting on God, and there could be a pressure, but just relax. Just relax. Who cares?
Yes.
We are seated at the feet of Christ, and
yes.
That's it. So I think I just enjoy that moment, and even if I don't get any word today, there's 24 hours.
That's right.
And I'll just.
And then after the 24 hours, there's another 24
absolutely.
Hours.
So I'll just be. So the devotions will be not 15 minutes, 1 hour, but it's just your daily life.
Yeah.
It's just open to hearing what God is saying.
Right.
So
we trust,
yeah.
Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
So we trust that the Lord is immediate to us,
yes,
in the sense that even though we don't get a word, His presence is immediate.
Yes.
Whether He gives you great insight, faithfulness, or something. But when you, what you want to do is that whatever thing you get, you just go with it. Like Scott said, you roll with it. So Sarah got that word, create me a new heart, a clean heart, sorry, and you just sing it. So you just sing it by faith. You don't know why it is important.
Yeah.
But you just sing it anyway, and then it will talk back to you. Okay, so that's good. We want to have a category for devotions in which we don't say nothing is happening until the word comes. We want to say that in the devotions, God immediately comes.
Amen.
Yeah, and we are in the presence of the word of God. Right? So we are going to find that God works at different paces with each one. You know, so for some of us, it takes a bit more time. And actually, depending on our state of mind, it may take more time for you to still yourself because you've got a lot of things going on. Yeah, it's a lot of things going on. And so sometimes my children don't fully understand that I take longer to get a word than they do because my life is more complicated than them. I have more stress than them. And so they keep on telling me, Daddy, why it takes such a long time to get a word? I said, I have more problems than you.
Complicated ones.
How come you get it so fast? So yesterday I was talking to Zeffy on the phone, right? She's in a big meet and she was going through a lot, right? She could feel oppression, she could feel like heaviness. And so I said, has God spoken to you? Yeah, I got two words. I got Isaiah 52, put on strength, awake, put on strength, put on your beautiful garments. And then I said, okay, let's pray. And then he said, oh yeah, I got John 1, about the light overcoming the darkness. So she gets it. So what I'm trying to do is to like help her with, okay, when you get a word, how do you let that word increase in you until it sort of displaces everything else? Yeah, that was the part that she had to work on. So I spent about 45 minutes that day on the phone just praying in spirit with her until she got stronger, you know. So that there's a process and there's not one size fits all. I tend to be a bit slow, other people are faster. And you may find that you're faster or slower, you can't compare. It also depends situationally. Let's have one more, okay?
I have a case that I'm working on at my job, and with kids from schools and their families, and so they've got a couple of hard cases, like mind-boggling things. Like if you can't reach this, you know what I mean? Like, oh, I'm trying, but living in Jesus, and then so this one case, it was suicidal originally. It went through a long process, and so it kind of culminated over time in a lot of different complicated things that aren't even appropriate for me to share, but because of confidentiality and other stuff. But I'm really overwhelmed by it. I'm also pretty frustrated with all the parties involved because it's like the school guidance counselor, my director suddenly appeared on the scene and called this huge meeting with everyone. Which could be good, but at the same time, she didn't talk to me about doing that. And the case is already so complicated that it's really difficult to deal with that. And then on top of it, the political aspect of respecting your boss, plus like suddenly being thrown into a meeting where, how do you navigate that? And your family has a lot at stake here, to sit in front of the school and make some decisions about their son's life. And there's a sensitivity to that, I think, working with the mom a lot. So I've been really stewing. And I'm mad. And so I'm with Jesus today. And thankfully, you know, it's also, by the way, side note, really fun to hear what everybody's getting because it is really encouraging to hear how God is being lived so individually. Like, all these different things we have going on
right.
And how something is so personal, so random too sometimes, you know. So anyways, so I got Joshua 10, which I normally don't get a full chapter.
Okay. Joshua 10.
I do know that I tend to get verse, chapter and verse, when I'm reading devotionals. But I read it and I was like, you know, and I'm always a little skeptical because of my personality, so I kind of came in like, okay, maybe it's that, maybe I'm just making it up. But then I was reading it, and it was about Joshua being over at the city.
Let's go ahead and turn to it,
It's long and it's complicated, and that's where I think there's more than I need to understand. And
okay.
But basically, I think that I asked a little bit after I read through the whole chapter, because I wasn't getting a good, clear word.
Yeah.
So then I was like, okay, God, what is standing out? And there are a couple things that stood out in your favorite verse style to me.
Yeah.
More like the quotes. But then there's this one verse, 20. And it says, when Joshua and the sons of Israel had finished striking them with the great blow, until they were wiped out, and when the remnant that remained of them had entered into the fortified cities, then all the people returned safe to Joshua in the camp at Machanah. Not a man moved his tongue against any of the people of Israel. And I think that that, I think I really need to like trust God and like, just read two of him.
Yeah.
I'm really stressed out. And
yeah.
The hard part is I think what, like, what happens to me and just my self-doubt in like these times where these people above me, as director who I have such a history with, and it's so hard to live with her.
Yeah.
You know, like, just my self-doubt in that, and just like that trusting God that he, I can return safely to the camp, and then,
wow.
No, you're just going to move their tongue against me, you know?
Especially verse 21.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So that was really,
that is so accurate. But I so that part, no man shall move the tongue of me, that strikes me. It's like, wow, that's put so aptly to your situation. Did you guys get that, Jose and Mary?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, we did. Yes, we did. We got it.
Okay. That is. That is amazing. So here's an example of a situation and a word. Yeah? A word and a situation, they fit. So that's what Rhema is. Rhema is a word that connects with a situation or a feeling that we're going into. Yeah. So that's a really interesting thing. I'm just going to say a little bit on that. And also make a correction to what I shared the last time. I used the word hesed for what should have been the word davar, which means word. Yeah, it also means a thing. Yeah, it also means a thing. So I've spoken about both words many times, but at that moment my mind played a trick on me that day when we were sharing. I made a silly mistake, and I used the word hesed for what should be the word davar. Dabar is the word, because we're talking about the word. What is the nature of the word? Yeah, the word dabar. Dabar is a bit like rhema in Greek. It's a bit like it. It's never exactly the same. But the whole idea of dabar is that it's a word spoken, okay? It's a word spoken, but which contains the very thing that it's speaking about. That is the nature of the word. So unlike English or Mandarin words and all that, which are signs that point away from the word to the thing, the objective thing that it's speaking about. So if I'm talking about chair, if I say chair, what that word that I spoke was just a sign that was pointing to the chair. But when God speaks a word, the word is one with the thing it's talking about. It contains that thing or that grace or that power of which it is talking. There is no other word like God, a word from God. But that is the Dabar. Does that make sense? Now, the interesting thing about the word Dabar, it's actually, there are three consonants. So, in Hebrew, there are a lot of words have like three consonants. Dalet, it's like a Dalet, Bet, and Resh. The word Dabar, is the root for another interesting word, which is Dabarim, which is which should include a man, which is like an M transliterated. So Dabarim. The word Dabarim means history. Yeah, it means events. Isn't that crazy? That a word can somehow be connected with events.
So the word dava and dava rim are connected. The word dava means word, and dava rim, which is actually like the plural of dava, in a lot of times in the masculine, is a plural of a word, of a noun. The word dava rim actually means history or things that we're going through. I find that extremely interesting because the word of God and what we go through, they're connected. And the word of God is accurate because it speaks to our divine, our history, or the events that we're going through.
Yes.
That's why it's very powerful, see. That's why what we want to do is to hear a word from God, not just know a lot of scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
The scriptures are important because it gives us a wealth of basic raw material. And they are true, and they are principles that we have to live by. You can't sort of go by the Rhema word of God and then throw out the scripture, the stated principles in scripture, what the word of God actually says in scripture. You can't throw that out. They are one. But the davar is the word of God, the principle of God, enacted in the moment, spoken in the moment, relevant to the moment. Yeah. So I just leave that with us, because the distinctive thing that we are wanting to pass on to sheep or people who are new Christians is this distinctive. There's going to come a time in which there will be lots of Christians who know a lot of scripture, but they don't know what to do because they don't know what God is saying. So what we want to do is to train people and give them a sort of a pathway in which generations and generations of people can, in a matter of course, just get a word from God. So that's important for our children, for our children's children, for all that, yeah. So what we are doing is to actually become more and more and more and more practiced and familiar with this way of hearing from God. Not just an impression of a picture, but the actual scripture. Because the scripture contains wisdom. It's more full. It's more solid, right? So we're not just moving in gifts of the Spirit, we're actually growing in the Word.
Yeah.
And when we talk about the Word, we don't talk about being a Bible nerd. We're talking about hearing from God. We are remade by words that become more and more flesh and blood in us. They just begin to be more and more compacted in us.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so we'll have more chance to share again the next time we meet. Thank you for sharing. That was very encouraging to me. It's great. Just to finish off this mistake I made, the word hesed is actually covenant, the covenant love. Yeah. Hesed is a lot of times translated steadfast love in the Bible, the steadfast love of the Lord. Never ceases. It's a love that works itself out through the covenant. It's a love that's structured by the covenant. It's a faithfulness of God, right? And but the dava is a different thing. It's connected. The dava means the word. Okay. All right. I alluded to this just now when I said that we want to pass it on. The thing about our church is that I feel that God is raising us up, so that we will raise up a generation, more generations of people who are not just strong Christians who know how to hear from God, but who know how to hear from God and pass it on. So in some ways, what we are doing is that we are learning a method. That means that God doesn't just speak in this way that I'm teaching. He's much broader than that. So you don't want to be reduced to what you learn here. God is wider. But the question was always this. Why is it many people who can hear from God can't pass it on to the next generation? Because they don't have a reproducible pattern. Right? And I speak to people who hear from God. I say, how do you hear from God? Well, you know, it's just like that. It's just so simple. It's just, you know. But they can't say, they can't articulate a way in which there's a protocol for it, or a pathway for that. What we want to do is to be able to create a pathway for people who come to church.
I froze.
Okay.
I froze.
Yeah, I can see that. But can you hear the volume in terms of the audio? Jose and Mary, can you hear the audio?
Can I share something?
It's still hesitant. Just give it a minute. I want them to hear you.
He's thinking.
Can you hear me?
Can you ask him to see them?
Can you hear? Okay.
Are you
guys
hearing me?
Okay. We paused for you.
We got that off.
We got frozen.
Okay.
Got
did
frozen.
You? Okay.
And now we're back. Sorry.
No problem. So. This session we're having is very crucial for the church, right? Because we do have people who hear from God, and we have a lot of people who don't hear from God. How do you pass it on? How do you raise up next generation so that they will be able to have that? Yeah. And so that is why when we are having this, my hope is that you will be able to disciple people in this as well. Okay? Tammy, you're going to share something.
Yeah, so I just had it put on my heart to share this, and that is that, you know, we talk about how God knows our heart, and in the things that have been shared, that's very evident. And, you know, I wasn't sitting in devotions with anything on my mind, but he knew my heart.
Yeah.
And he knew her heart, and he, you know, so it's very evident that we can trust God to know our heart and better than we need to know what's good for us.
Yeah.
He knows what we need right then. So that's also something that we should be sharing with people when we're teaching them.
Yes, that's really good. There are times in which we are before the Lord and we don't know what's troubling us. We don't know what we even want. But when God speaks to us, he can call it out and tell us. Yesterday, after the prelims for Zafi, she went back quite discouraged, very, very down. And I asked, and I said, "How are you doing?" She says, I'm upset, but I don't know what I'm upset about." So, you know, I don't have to tell her, "Okay, let's talk about it, Mother." I just tell her, "Okay, you go seek the Lord." And the Lord will speak to her. God spoke to her to tell her what she's upset about, what the issue is. You know? So, That's wonderful. God knows us better than we do ourselves. And so I have to tell God to tell me who I am, what I'm going through sometimes. Yeah, thanks for sharing that. Okay, so we talked about passing it on. We're receiving a word, and we're waiting upon the word. We are detecting it, we're preparing, and in the presence of the word, we've been talking about that. What we will do is that every time we meet, we will keep on doing that. So we will talk about more aspects of what this is, yeah. So what is happening is that we are having like different examples that fill out this big topic of what does it mean to wait on the word, right? What does it feel like? What can happen? What kind of things take place? Yeah. Okay. We talked a little bit about. Tammy talked a little bit about how God knows us. One perspective I feel is really important is that we are not trying to get a word from God. God is actually wanting to get to us.
Yeah.
Okay? Which is really important. The burden of achievement is not ours, it's God's.
Yeah.
We just need to sometimes give him time so that he can sort us out. But when the word comes, it comes with at least five different dimensions. The first thing is the word that comes from God has weight. Okay, has weight. At first it may come like a light, small seed that just like a particle that just drops in our heart. You can hardly sense it, hardly feel it. And you would tend to dismiss it. A seed doesn't look like anything. But it contains the power to become a very heavy tree.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so what happens is this. When we learn how to be sensitive to him, tuning into him, or more leaning into him, then we are more sensitive to small light particles that are being dropped by the Holy Spirit to us. But the Lord does not want it to remain as a seed. So what Sarah was sharing is actually very powerful. What she says is that the more I sing it, she used the verb, there's a build, there's a build-up in that, right? So we want to learn how the Word of God can actually become stronger and stronger in us. It grows in weight and conviction. So that's the first dimension. It has the dimension of not just being a proposition, but it actually can become substantial in us. So that passage from C.S. Lewis's book, The Great Divorce, is about that, about how we can grow in density in terms of weight and substance in God. Yeah. It also has, the Word of God has wisdom and understanding. And that is why I'm more in favor of us not just getting impressions from the Lord in the gifts of the Spirit, right? Pictures and all that. Those are important for when we are together in the congregation, and those are the things that God wants. But for our own devotions, don't just go with that. Ask God for a word of scripture, because the scripture gives us understanding, gives us depth. Yeah. So in prayer ministry, a lot of times the Lord gives us impressions of things. So for prayer ministry, when you're ministering, a picture like such as Mary actually shared, that was actually really great, about Mary, you were sharing about like wanting to get something from the top of the cupboard, right? And the pantry. And we're trying to get it. But that picture is really good when we are moving in the gifts of the Spirit. For devotions, those things can come. But I want to encourage you to also go and trust God that He can give you a scripture. Because the scriptures can be devoured, it can be digested, you can be broken down, and they actually share with us understanding. So we're not just sensitive, but we have understanding and wisdom as well. Does that make sense? So there's that.
Yeah.
The Word of God is profound. Yeah. The third thing is that it convicts us. Okay? The third thing is the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, it confirms us, but it also confirms us in a convicting way. It causes us to repent. So sometimes it may confirm something that I got, but it actually convicts me that I wasn't very serious about it. But it's causing a change in me. So whenever we get the Word of God, you're always looking out for, okay, what is the change that you're looking for, giving to me? Yeah. The fourth, when the Word of God, when we allow the Word of God to fully have its way, and we allow ourselves to meditate, it resensitizes us. It makes things that we are not sensitive to, things that we are sensitive to. Okay. For example, the Word of God can give us compassion for those who are poor or who are coming against us. Because what it does is that when it comes, it is more than just words, it is the love of God, right? It sensitizes us to needs. I find that when I receive the Word of God and I'm in the presence of God, I have more love. I have more motivation to show a person love. You know? Which brings me to that last point, which is there's activation. Word of God can sometimes work in us when we don't feel motivated to it. Feel very like very kind of tired of it all, you know. But Word of God, if we just allow ourselves to pray in the Spirit, what can happen is that something that is not that motivating will begin to be activates action. So there are these five dimensions: weight, conviction, wisdom or understanding, repentance or being convicted, you know, turning around, correction, sensitization, and the fifth one is activation. The path of the Word of God in us, the growth of the Word of God in us, is a growth in which all these dimensions will become
when I think about my eldest daughter, when she received words, there can be a change in her heart. And I found her being very sensitive to people who are really needy. Now, you've got to understand, she was brought up swimming, an athlete, and all that. So athletes tend to be not sensitive to people. They're just actually impatient with people who are not strong. But when the word of God came upon her, she became very much more sensitive to people who just couldn't do things that we would expect it to be their responsibility. You know? So there's something in which the heart changes. We're more sensitive to need. They're more sensitive to people's pain as well. Yeah? Any questions on that?
Could you quickly elaborate on activation?
Okay. A lot of times, I actually mentioned this last Sunday, the Word of God comes to us and we feel convicted or we feel remorse, or we feel excited about it. But the Word of God has a trajectory. Yeah? Every word that God comes out of the mouth of God actually has a, it does not return unto him void. It actually goes there and it accomplishes something. Right? So the Word of God is more often than not going to have its full fruit when it activates us into a certain action that we would not have enacted or engaged in if we didn't get that Word of God. Now, this part is really important because of the fact that we can tend to feel, to have the Word of God become something that makes us feel good. So there's comfort, there's, you know, there's, it changes the inside of us. But there is an activism about the Word of God, because the Word of God contains action. So what happens is this. A lot of times, we don't wait on that Word long enough, or we don't pray into the Word long enough. And when that happens, nothing comes out of it. Yeah, nothing comes out of it. So you can look at your devotion book over the past months, and you got these very inspiring words. But you can't point a finger to what came out of that. What did it make you do? Now, I am not of the same mind as certain Bible study groups that say immediately you've got to go and find the application to it. I'm not saying that you should do that. I'm saying you've got to let it have more and more of a voice in us, and then it will activate us. When the Word of God activates us, it's different from when we try to be practical about the Word of God. Does it make sense? It is something that the Word of God itself will lead us into. But we have to pray into it. So that dimension of prayer and devotion is very important. Praying the Spirit and receiving the Word of God. We pray until we are prayed up in it. And the conviction, after a while, makes us unable to stop ourselves from doing something that we wouldn't have done before. It gives us boldness. It says, I have to do this. I'm compelled. It compels us. So that's that dimension of the Word of God. Okay? So I would say that when we do our devotions, the end point of our devotions is that activation. That activation may actually be an activation that's a negative activation. It says, stop doing this. Cease doing this. Cease becoming an enabler for that. That may be the application. But there is a connection between the Word of God and an action. So, you know, I always talk against activism. But there is an activism about the Word of God that comes from the Word of God rather than from the flesh. All right?
Yes.
Okay. We talked a little bit about FV. Right? To again find another word for it. I thought I'd give you an example of a devotion, how I would go about it. Is that okay? If you turn with me to Isaiah chapter 62, This is what I got this morning. For now, I want to just focus on certain aspect of the devotion process. Not the 4Q in the fullest sense, but more or less the first part of it. Okay. So I got Isaiah chapter 62 last night, and I prayed over it. I got Isaiah 62 hundreds of times. So when I get Isaiah 62 as an impression, I think, oh, this, my mind is in a rut. And so I get a bit cynical and skeptical about passages that I get a lot. But what I try to do is to actually read it as if I never read it before and give it a chance, just in case God is speaking. So maybe I'll describe to you how I felt when I was getting it, and perhaps, you know, you can walk with me through this. So Isaiah chapter 62 verse 1, for Zion's sake I will not keep silent, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not be quiet, until her righteousness goes forth as brightness, and her salvation as a burning torch. Whenever I read this, it always inspires me. So there's a certain level of, I'm given to this kind of chapter. This kind of chapter, my own call, the way we got to shape me, it just makes me get excited about words like this, you know. The nation shall see your righteousness and all kings your glory. I live for that. And you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. You shall no more be termed forsaken, and your land shall no longer be termed desolate, but you shall be called my delight is in her. So this chapter is all about that, about how God wants to make, you know, BCF,
yeah,
that kind of people, right? My righteousness goes forth and brightness. I pray this for the church all the time. But I got it for devotion. So there is a certain level of generalized inspiration that comes with this chapter anyway. But that may be given the way in which I am shaped, right? Does that make sense? Okay. But I want to hear a word of God that's not because of that. Not that I find it inspiring on me, but because the Lord has a word for me. And so I read it, I have to sort of put aside a little bit my tendency to inspiration with this chapter and say, God, what is it that is different that's speaking to me? So I want to be sensitive to the Lord maybe speaking to me something different from what I generally get inspired about. And so what I do is that I just pray, and I just pray in the Spirit of the Lord, you know, throughout all the time I'm praying, just really slowly. And then I got to chapter 62, verse 3. It says this, you shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of God. And that was moving. That verse 3 was moving. And what was moving was particularly in the hand of the Lord. In the hand. So it was fresh for me to just feel a sense of like, wow, God wants to hold me in His hand and use me as a vessel in His hand, just like a pen in my hand, you know. I've used a pen since I was a kid. So a pen in the hand of me is something that is familiar. My hand knows how to work with a pen. Just like how some people, they are so good at working with a keyboard, a computer keyboard, like I'm not. And they just can just whiz through it. I'm not that way. But an instrument in a hand is something really powerful. Yeah? So the crown of you, as I was just meditating on it, I was wanting to try to listen to what was striking me that was felt a bit different. And it's just this. Being handy. This pen is handy to the Lord. And it struck me that the Lord wants to make me and my children and my church handy to Him. Handy means like you can move a little bit and you know what, you can already manipulate it so quickly. Does that make sense? It doesn't. A person who's handy with tools
doesn't need to do a lot of things with the tools. It's just like just a few movements with the hand, and the tool moves and does efficiently what it wants. The tool is almost sensitive to the hand. So that's what struck me differently. I'm inspired by the whole chapter, you know, prepare the way of the Lord, all that. But the thing that struck me at that moment was handiness. Does that make sense? Now, it may not be new to you, but it's new to me. It's fresh to me. So what I'm trying to do is to look for that. Does it make sense to be sensitive to that? Because words of scripture, a lot of times can be your favorite verse of scripture or your favorite passage of scripture, your things that has always spoken to you historically and all that. But today in our devotions, we want to be able to find what is the present word that the Lord is speaking to me. And so for the first time, the word struck me, handy, be handy in the Lord. And what God is wanting to do is to actually make us handy to Him. And I had been praying for Zephy and, you know, and my children, especially that night. And the Lord was saying, what I want to do is more than just for them to swim fast or all that. I just want them to be handy to me. Does that make sense? So I can do things with them without having to shout at them. Okay. So what I'm doing is that I'm looking for something that's different from what I knew before. So what you used to call FV, but you have to help me find a new word. What was the word that you, the term for FE that you had before? Get it?
For
FE, you came up with a term for FE the last time. I can't remember.
I don't remember.
But anyway, we want to actually be able to, for this method of devotions, be able to detect that. So for that to happen, you have to ask questions like, so what? If you get a word, so what? What's so special about it? In what way is it different from what I knew already? Okay? And so that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to get that nerve, you know? Trying to locate that nerve. So that involves not the Bible study, but it involves a certain amount of sensitivity to Him. And that is why I say, in devotions, being sensitive to the presence of the One, the Word, to Him, is very important. It's very personal. So you're aware of the fact that your heart's been touched a bit differently. That is an indication of where the Rhema is, or the Word is. Okay? So the thing that we are talking about is locating the Word. Okay, in that whole passage of scripture, there is something of a logic, or it's a particular phrase, or it could be the whole idea that seems to be being drawn out from the whole passage, the logic of the passage. But it's speaking to you in a sort of a distinctive way. It's moving and it's fresh. Yes? So, with children, we can teach that, right? Or with actually new Christians, we can teach that because their hearts are innocent. They're still pure. They're still not filled with a lot of Bible knowledge. The first thing that comes to them is not, oh, how this cross references with this other part in the Old Testament and New Testament. They're not talking about, they don't care about that. They are just fresh. Especially new Christians, you find that it's easy for them to get into that. For new Christians, what we want to do is to be able to not have them lose this. Yeah. So that's why when new Christians or even non-Christians, when they're just coming into the Bible, when they read a scripture and they tell you how it speaks to them, it's very fresh. You want to have that. Okay. So that's locating the Word. All that would be what we used to call FV. Okay, just locating the Word, locating the part that gives joy, and especially
why is it distinct? Why is it different from everything else? Okay. Now, FV is actually the first question in 4Q. Yeah. First one is, why is it special? Is it, what is God's giving me something? What is it that needs to happen? Okay. But we're looking for the revelation, okay? And what is, and I'm going to use this word revelation in a specific way, something that has been revealed, that has been uncovered to you. Okay. It's not what you knew of Bible knowledge. It's not what you have heard, taught, or preached. It is something that the Holy Spirit freshly is bringing to you. You just have to give it time. Yeah. Okay. Don't immediately start to do a Bible study on it. Don't. Wait for it. Wait for to hear the voice of it first. Then you go to Bible study. Or else you can go on Bible study studying a lot of things that may not be necessarily what you heard. Okay? But once you hear it, then you go and do your Bible study. Or use all the Bible tools. Okay, I just want to end with one step forward. There's a second question that we ask. And the question is, why do I need this word? Or why are you speaking this to me? You can also ask it in a different way. You can say, what is preventing me or has been preventing me from receiving or experiencing what you have in the Word, yeah? Why are you speaking this? So it's speaking about the fact that God has something for us, but sometimes there are blockages for us experiencing it. Okay? How many of you have found many times you get this promise? You get this promise, you keep on getting this promise, and nothing happens, right? Or sometimes there's a promise that just doesn't happen. The question is, what are you, Lord, going against that is a restraining factor, a hindrance from me experiencing this? And this can be found in the passage. Okay, in the passage. In the chapters. Somewhere in there. I'll give you an example. I'm going to use my daughter again. Because it's all fresh. So I told you that I was talking to her over the phone, and she was saying, I feel very discouraged and all that, because she did okay yesterday, but didn't do as well as she expected. Yeah. And so actually she felt that she was going slow in the junior nationals. So it was the 100 fly and 100 back. So I asked her, of course, what is God speaking to you? And she said, Isaiah 52. He gave me Isaiah 52. Put on strength. Put on your beautiful garments. Shake the dust off your feet. And then she said, but I went slow. I went slow still, you know. So she was saying, it didn't come to pass. So I said, what is the Lord speaking to you? And I got that she thought that God is saying, you're going to be putting on strength. You're going to be strong. Okay? When you ask this question too, you will begin to realize that there are reasons why this is not coming to pass. Right? So you want to ask God, why is it you're promising this? And it's not happening. So last night, I did a devotion with her on the phone, a short one. And then she is able to see, oh, God is saying, put on strength. Don't just
receive it as a promise, a passive promise. You got to put on strength, you got to shake off the dust. So I said, Zephy, did you shake off the dust?
Mm-hmm.
Did you take off the yoke? You know? How did you put on strength? Does that make sense? And then she began to realize, oh, sometimes I get these promises from God. I think God is predicting that he's going to do something, but actually he's telling me to do something which is different, which actually addresses reasons why I never experienced that fully. So that is what is going to cause a lot of people to get words and find that this time it really does come to pass because you know what your restraining factors are, what your habits are. The Lord will actually speak. But you have to wait for it. Don't try to figure it out. The Lord has to speak it to you. If I try to answer this as a homework, like myself, thinking it for myself, and not listening to God, I will come up with all kinds of reasons why I am not experiencing it. True? I know myself. But those may not be the reasons the Lord wants me to focus on. Yeah? So the Lord, when we are doing this, we are asking these questions to the Lord, not to ourselves. It's not introspection. It has to come by revelation. Yeah? Any questions for that? So I find myself needing to be relentless about my question too, because the lack of being able to address, like, why is it I get these promises but they don't come to pass? What are you speaking to me in myself that causes me to constantly not have the victory or not get freed up, not move from the place that I'm in? What is the need that is in me? What is the hole in me that this is actually wanting to fill? What is preventing me? What has prevented me from experiencing the good of this before? Okay? So, get this word. You will be a royal diadem and handy to the Lord. Right? So ask the question. So what has made me not handy? Or not as handy as I can be? Right? What makes me not handy? Not flexible, easy to move? Yeah? That's the question too. So I want to experience handiness to God. Like God can just move me very, very quickly. As I sought the Lord about it, the Lord spoke to me from this passage. And what struck me was the fact that, in verse 1 it says, I will not keep silent, I will not be quiet. Actually, in the other translation it says, I will not rest. And the Lord was speaking to me, you know what? Sometimes you pray, but you rest. You don't break into the place where you become really flowing with God. Have you experienced this? When you are really, when you feel filled with the Spirit, you are very able to move. You're not stiff.
Mm-hmm.
And what the Lord was speaking to me is this. You rest before you get freed up, and you're still stiff. Does that make sense? And so what happens is this. He was speaking to me. There are times in which I pray, and I don't have that kind of focus to pray until I'm active. I'm kind of phlegmatic in the sense that I'm kind of lazy. And so because of that, I can sometimes stop short before I experience prayer bringing me to a point of freedom, of looseness. I know what it's like. Through concentration, to just perseverance, to come to that place of looseness. A lot of times I just stop short at that, and then I think I'm going to rest. And so what the Lord is saying to me is, no, pray beyond. There's a barrier. Just pray beyond the barrier of you wanting a rest. Does that make sense? And so I did that this morning. It was great. I found, I was feeling much more loose, much less tight. Much less anxious, much less like, I got to do it right. And I don't know how to do it right, you know? Stiff, less stiff. Does that make sense? More easy to be in the hand. So that's what the Lord gave me for my devotions. So now that's only question one and question two. We're gonna do three and four the next time. Does that make sense? All right. Any questions? All right, let's pray. Thank you, Lord. The beginning and the end is you. You are the one who starts it. You are the one who finishes it in our devotion. We bless you that you are our teacher, our counselor, your patient with us. You allow us to go at our own pace. And sometimes you nudge us. So we ask you that even now, Lord, that you will cause us to have such a freedom in you, to be freed up from thinking of it as our own efforts, of our own holiness, our own achievement. You come to us, Lord. So we wait upon you. We ask you that for each person here, you would cause each one of us to have spiritual children whom you can cause to receive the word in season in this way. We commit ourselves into your hands in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.